Let's take our Bibles tonight, if you would. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Let me just say again, we thank you to Temple Baptist Church. Thank you for many years of faithfulness to the Lord's work. And it's such a thrill to be back with you folks and to see what God is doing in this place. And I know you're excited to see the ministry abroad, but we're so excited to see what's going on here at Temple. And we many times, you don't know how many times we get out of church on Sunday nights and we're 12 hours ahead. So as we get out and it's about 9, 10 o'clock at night, and I'm like, hey, I'm still winding down. You know, Sunday is a big day and it takes a while to wind down. So I get back online and I get to listen to preaching. And Pastor Pittman, many times, is such a blessing, and God gives us something we need to help us for the week. But we just thank you so much. We're forever indebted to the men that came over to help, and then all of your prayers and support over the years. And I wish you could meet them in person. And someday in heaven, there will be no language barrier, and we can enjoy great fellowship together. And another blessing is we don't have to ever say goodbye again. Amen. Praise the Lord, no more farewells. And I know that especially this time in our ministry with our kids and family, and they get close and they get attached to people. But as we head back to the field next week, Tuesday of next week, we appreciate your prayers for us. As you know, I'm sure there's mixed emotions, quite a range of emotional needs there, but pray for us. I'm ready to go. I'm gung-ho, you know, but pray for the family and pray that God would give us real peace and joy and just a love for the ministry and for the people there. We're so excited for the church in Cambodia and pray that God would continue to establish his work. And praise God for people. It's we have a beautiful building and we're just getting ready to go into kind of the second phase of our building renovation and complete some big projects on the building. But we have a beautiful building there and multi-purpose, especially on the second level. That temple helped us with all the framework. And they were out there doing the concrete and doing the brick laying. And we even learned how to throw bricks to the second level. Remember that? Throwing bricks up there. You know, you think you throw bricks down, but we're throwing them up. And so it's a lot of work, and boy, we went through the water. We had to keep ourselves liquefied, you know, but it was great, just unbelievable, and we are forever grateful for all that God has done through Temple Baptist Church. And we pray that God would continue to use your young people and your adults and your families, and let's just do it all for the glory of God and keep it going until the finish. Amen. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4 tonight. And I want to preach tonight a short message on the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. I know it's a simple sermon, and I know that we've heard the word gospel. It's nothing new, but I believe we ought to be reminded. And so let's go on to 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse number 3. It says, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. If you think of chapter 4 here, especially the apostle deals with the ministry that God had put in his care. And he says here in verse 3, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. You know, there's a lost world out there, and they have many needs. There's people suffering because of health needs, financial needs, educational needs. But I tell you, the greatest need in the world is still for the gospel of Jesus Christ. There's nothing greater than the gospel. Amen. And I hope tonight that we are not those Christians that are hiding it. But I believe we ought to be shining the light. I remember Pastor preaching in Cambodia. And he's preaching, he's using the object lesson with the flashlights. And that was a good sermon. People still remember about the reflection. And we are to be a reflection with the light of God in our lives. Is that to reflect to others around us. But I hope that we're not hiding, but we're shining tonight. So let's look at verse number 4. It says, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. We know the God of this world is the devil. And the devil is a master of deception. And look at verse 4. It says, Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Let's preach tonight for this short time on the glorious gospel of Christ. Father, thank you for this evening. Thank you, Lord, that here on a Sunday evening, that your people have taken time to come and worship you. Thank you, Lord, for the songs tonight and how they prepared our hearts. Thank you for the praying. Thank you for all the people who have come together to hear your word tonight. Lord, I pray that you would do a work in our hearts. God, we need you. We need your spirit to work in our hearts. Help us, Lord, as we go about our ways through this week, that we might shine the light of the glorious gospel. Lord, we love you. Thank you for this evening. In Jesus' name, amen. Think about the glorious gospel. Gospel simply means good news, but we know it better as the good news of Jesus Christ. You know, there's a lot of gospel floating around. There's gospel truth, there's gospel radio, there's gospel music, there's gospel programs, there's gospel magic, there's gospel comedy, there's even gospel organizations. There's a church called the Full Gospel Church, and I don't think they have the full gospel. But I believe you preach the word of God and you have the full gospel. Thank the Lord that we have the true gospel. The Bible speaks some of another gospel, right? There's a lot of people preaching another gospel. There's a lot of religion today. But thank the Lord, if you know Jesus Christ tonight, you have a wonderful treasure, an indescribable treasure. Never measure all the benefits of the gospel. But every single day, every moment of every day, I remind you tonight that we are benefiting the results of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Every moment of every day, I thank God for the gospel. I thank God that someone opened the word of God to my parents and took the time to show them the way of truth. I am so thankful for the gospel. Can you imagine tonight where your life would be without the influence of the gospel of Christ? I don't think it would be a pretty picture. I don't think it would be anything attractive. We are benefiting the results of the gospel, the fruit of the gospel. I'm so thankful for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Can you turn several pages to the front and go to 1 Corinthians 15? 1 Corinthians 15 and verse number 1, it says, "Moreover, brethren," and here we go, we introduce the gospel. He says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye received and wherein ye stand." And all of God's people said, amen. I hope tonight you have received the true gospel. And I hope we can stand in the gospel. Verse 2 says, "By which also ye are saved." Amen. "If ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain." And then verse 3 and 4. When we look at these verses, he says, "I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received." And thank God, Brother Paul, he received the wonderful truth of the gospel. He says how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried and he rose again the third day. Aren't you thankful that someone died in your place? And all of our crimes against God's law were placed upon Jesus Christ, and his imputed righteousness was placed on our account. I'm thankful that he died in my place, and he had never broken one law. There was no crime that they could hang on him. And yet he chose to willingly give his life in my place and in your place. He died for our sins according to the scriptures. And therefore we have Jesus Christ dying and being buried, tasting death for every man, but also on the third day, gloriously rising from the dead. Thank God for the resurrection. There is no other religion, there is no other faith that can boast of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Thank God for this resurrection. We have the gospel encapsulated in verses 3 and 4. Therefore, anyone that preaches outside of these parameters is preaching a diluted gospel. You see, when we add something to the gospel, then it is no more a pure gospel, and it loses all power. If you dilute the gospel, then you lose the power of the gospel. The gospel is not an add-on. It is not the gospel and something else. But the gospel is all or nothing. Praise the Lord for the pure, unadulterated gospel. I'm thankful that many, many years ago, almost 35 years ago, when someone took the time with my parents to show them the wonderful truth that Jesus Christ is the only, the one and only true gospel. He is the only way to go to heaven and to be forgiven of our sins. You know, what are you speaking of tonight? I'm speaking of the wonderful gospel of Christ that can make all the difference in your life. Four things that we ought to consider tonight. Think about, number one, we ought to know the gospel. We ought to know the gospel. I'm thankful that this man, Carl, as he was one of these that would drive my parents to town. And you see, some of you already know my testimony, but there were several families that came out of religion, and my family was one of those. We were ex-Amish. They were old order Amish, and so they have all of these rules. And how many of you know Amish people, right? Okay. Just know that they are overloaded with rules, okay, and it's all about a system. And so, you know, for many, many years, and the truth is, my parents, grandparents, great-grandparents, as far back as the records go, they've all been Amish. Nobody ever considered leaving the church. They say if someone leaves the church that they're going to hell automatically. And they will be shunned and they will be publicly shamed. They will be excommunicated. And we did not speak English as our native language. We spoke a dialect of German. And so they have this holy language. They have a good Bible, but it's very difficult to understand. And Bible study as a whole is prohibited. Open Bible study is prohibited. And so they add all these rules and they have this system. They have this religion and they all look good. And you looking in from the outside, you say, oh, it's so nostalgic. It's so, you know, it's so peaceful and they're just humble people. But can I tell you that they're miserable? They're miserable. There's a lot of infighting going on. There's jealousy all the time. They are very proud of their humility. How does that go, right? You can sit in the car, you know, they can have you in their car. You can have them in your car, but, you know, if they sit in the driver's seat, that's a sin. But sit next to the driver, that's okay. And they can't have a car, but, you know, they could borrow or they could have you take them around. And they could, you know, they can't own a phone, but they can borrow your phone. You know, they justify all these things. But I'm so thankful the day came when my dad placed his faith in Jesus Christ because they studied the Bible secretly. And they knew they were getting troubled by the church. The bishop walked in. He saw their Bibles open. He saw they had the German Bible with the English Bible. And they were studying what is true salvation. We don't get to heaven and we don't get forgiveness because of all the good works and all the rules. We get to heaven by the grace of Jesus Christ and Him alone. It is not the gospel and something else. But this bishop walked in and he didn't say, that's great, you're having a Bible study. No, he said, you've been caught and you will be shunned. You will be publicly shamed before the church. And he said, we will excommunicate you and cut you off. And it's like if you don't repent, they don't ever want to see you again. Families cut us off. Grandparents cut us off. They said, you won't get any inheritance. I had an uncle that they pulled his farm because they had the deed. And they said, You don't get your house. You don't get your farm. If you're going to follow your new religion, your new faith, you literally walk out and have nothing. But he was willing to do that, to take the step. I'm thankful that God gave the grace to my parents to stand for Lord Jesus Christ. They said, we have come too far to turn back. And we know that we have Jesus Christ. You see, it is more than just a religion, more than all this rigid rules, but it is a relationship with Jesus Christ. I ask you today, do you know the true gospel of Jesus Christ? He can be your personal Savior tonight. He can receive you as his children and clean us up. Even though we are vile, wretched creatures, we are sinful people, yet God loves us enough, and he wants us to be in heaven with him. I can't imagine that. How would he love us enough, love me enough, want me to be in heaven with him forever? And that is our true loving God, the true gospel of Jesus Christ. It is that gospel, three things about the gospel. It is singular, it is simple, and it is sufficient. Aren't you thankful for the gospel tonight?
Amen.
I'm so thankful God has given us the truth. And it is that gospel that we carry to Cambodia. And many of these people, as Pastor said, they're first generation Christians. And as far back as they can remember, Buddhist, Hindu. Grandparents, great-grandparents, far back as they go, all Buddhist and Hindu. Cambodia used to be a French colony until the 50s, and they wanted nothing to do with the missionary movement. You see, missions in the 1800s came with Adoniram Judson and all these missionaries, and they had great development of missions and advancement of the gospel into Thailand, into Myanmar, and there's still churches there today. But Cambodia had closed doors until about 30 years ago. And God began to open the doors of Cambodia, and I believe tonight the fields are white unto harvest. There are cities of 50,000, cities of 100,000, and the cults are there and the false religions are there, but they don't have many true gospel preaching churches. We live in a city of 100,000 people and several hundred thousand more outside of our town. And you know, if people leave our church, if they're disgruntled, I really don't know where they would go unless they go to the Mormon church somewhere else. Just saying, we don't have many churches. Pray that God would use his people and he would continue to start more churches in Cambodia and send forth more laborers. Do you know the gospel? Thank God that we are in Jesus Christ. We have received it. Secondly, tonight, would you think about how we can show the gospel? Not only to know it and receive it, but also to show it as God's children walking on this earth, we have a responsibility. Would you turn to Philippians chapter 1 and verse 27? As we read earlier tonight, if the gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. And God wants us to show forth his grace, to show his work in our lives. And it says in Philippians 1, verse 27, I believe we, if you've been saved for any amount of time, I hope you've read this verse. It's a great verse. Only let your conversation, your daily living, your manner of living, let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. That whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. You know, it was the gospel that made the difference in my family's life. But it didn't stop there. Thank the Lord for the day that my folks, they said, we need to go to church. And we don't really have a good church here. We just kind of have a house church, you know, do some services, do some singing and a little testimony. And they decided to look for a church. And they didn't know Baptist from Mormon. But praise God, God put an independent Baptist church 5 miles from our house. And we got an invitation in the mail. And they went to go visit. My parents went first, and they said, we're going to leave your children at home. You know, we don't know what they believe, so, you know, we're going to go check it out. And so they went to the church, and they came back. Of course, they had all their Amish garb on and walked into church, and the pastor, he got kind of nervous, I think. But praise the Lord, they loved it, and they said, next week, we're going back. And they hired a pickup truck, and we all sat in the back of a pickup truck in the middle of the winter, and we went to church. And praise the Lord, all 10 of his children, several months later, over time, all of us got saved. And praise the Lord, you know, all of it, the rest of it is history. God is so good. God is so great. And God gave us so much more than we'd ever thought or we could even ask for. God is so great. It is a wonderful gospel. And I know in America, we hear it all the time. But I think we need to show it more as well. Not only to know it, but also to show it. Let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. Can I tell you a story about a young lady in Cambodia? Young Akra. And she's one of these girls that they kind of prepped the food while the guys were there. A real short girl. And she's such a blessing. She's probably kind of shy when you guys are there, but she's really outgoing. She's got a great ministry spirit, and very promising, and such a blessing. And she would come and ask my wife, is there something I can do? Can I minister to someone? And we gave her the widows in the church. Said, would you reach out to the widows and start having Bible studies with them? And she would just reach out to people. She was such a blessing. And she would have discipleship lessons with our young people, just new believers. She tried to encourage them. The day came, Pastor, April of last year. She caught some viral disease within 24 hours with high fever. She went into a coma. She had been in great health. All of a sudden went into a coma, and for 2 weeks was in the hospital. 24/7, our ladies from the church would take, they'd have shifts of being in the hospital with her. You know, in these third world countries, you have a doctor, but you don't have a nurse. You don't have care. They have to take their own bedding. They have to take food. They have to change out the IV and go buy your medicine and bring it to the doctor for them to administer it. But our ladies were such a great testimony. But it's one of the hardest things we ever faced. But you know, she went on to heaven. Within 2 weeks, we were preparing for a funeral. It was during COVID. They wouldn't even let us go to the province where they were going to bury her. Praise the Lord, they let her have a Christian funeral. Pastor, it was such a great testimony, though. You know, we had a memorial service, and we had to remind everybody, you don't weep for her because she's in heaven, and she is with the Lord. But we are weeping for us. She left a hole in our ministry. We are weeping for us. And you all know what that's like. But you know, the people came together, and there are many testimonies of her faith in Christ, even today. There are people in church, there are ladies in church that she had reached with the gospel. And her testimony continues to speak volumes. 3 weeks before she passed away, basically a month before this, she gave a testimony with the ladies. Okay, she doesn't preach, but she gave a testimony, amen? She gave a testimony, she said, James 4:14 is on my heart. The Lord gave me this verse, and I don't know why. But she said, our lives are but a vapor that appeareth for a little while and then vanisheth away. Your life is but a vapor. She said, I don't know why, but now we know. God used James 4:14 to be a testimony. This is a testimony of her life because she was getting ready to go to heaven. You know, I've told many people in our church, I said, if when I go to heaven, I hope that I can go the way she went. She was such a blessing, trying to encourage people, trying to do the Lord's work. And you know what we saw? We saw the gospel on display. We need to show the gospel. Praise the Lord. And there are people in church today that she had led to the Lord. There's fruit that abounds to your account. Thank the Lord. Let's think of thirdly tonight. Not only should we know the gospel and show the gospel, but we should also share the gospel. Or in other words, sow the gospel. Think about how the gospel is given to us. And God could have taken us to heaven immediately. Your sins are washed away. Your name is in the book of life. You're good to go to heaven. You're ready. God could have taken us immediately. But he leaves us here on this earth. And he gives us a job to do. He could have written the gospel in the clouds. You know, Jesus saves. He could have inscribed it on the rocks and the hills and the mountains. He could have etched it in the leaves that fall from the trees. But no, God chose to use fallen creatures. He chose to use you and me. And he's given us this wonderful treasure of the gospel. He's given us his word. He's given us the truth. He's told us, go ye. Go ye. You know, it says in Acts 1 and verse 8, that ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem. Praise the Lord, your Jerusalem is right here. And to the uttermost parts of the earth. To Samaria, to Judea, to the uttermost part. And I believe you can do both. Thank the Lord that you can do both simultaneously. You can not only shine the light here at home, and I believe the light that shines the farthest shines the brightest at home. It's such a blessing to see what God is doing here in your church and testimonies of people getting saved. And just as we heard a testimony of that tonight, that people are still open to the gospel. Do you know how many churches in America that go month after month, week after week, and never see one person converted to the gospel? That is a sad matter of fact. But thank the Lord that God is still at work and the gospel is still alive. And that God can do whatever he wants to do. He wants to use us. It is impossible with men, it's still possible with God. Thank the Lord, 2 weeks ago, God answered our prayer. There's a man that's been coming to our church for almost 2 years. And he had a bad relationship with someone else in our church. We ended up marrying them to avoid adultery. And they got married and they're still married. And praise the Lord. 2 weeks ago, he came to one of our men after church. And he said, recently there's been a tragedy. Someone else had died and God used that tragedy to wake him up and to get him to thinking again. Eternity is coming. Eternity, the judgment of God, my sins. And he said, I want to get saved now. I don't want to keep putting it off. I've heard it all. I've heard the gospel. I've had it explained time and time again. And he said, I want to get saved. And right there in the church, praise the Lord, God saved his soul. God is still working. And we need to share the gospel. How many times? And we just pass up the opportunities and those divine appointments. You know, if we are a recipient of the gospel, we ought also to be a transmitter of the gospel. Praise God that we have received it. God has brought it to us. And think of number four tonight, and I'm done. Number four, think about how we ought to grow the gospel. You grow the gospel through missions. You grow the gospel through prayer, through your giving. There's a lot of people talk about prayer, but it's really not making a difference. It's really not a lively prayer life. God wants us to pray for one another. God has worked on our hearts to pray for you. And I know that you all pray for us. Many folks send us a note, send us an email, send us a text. And it is the greatest encouragement when I know that people have our backs. Sometimes we get lonely. Sometimes we get discouraged. All right, don't think we're super Christians. We're not. We get discouraged. Sometimes we get defeated. But you know, we all need prayer. And God uses prayer to touch and to help, to heal, and to give more fruit. Think about tonight. What about our responsibility to the gospel? This man, Visal, in the testimony tonight, and I'm done. Visal got saved 7 or 8 years ago. He's 20 years old. About 2 years ago, Pastor, he came to me and said, I believe God is working in my heart to be a preacher someday. And that is not something you just look for. I mean, in Cambodia, you just know that's going to be a low-paying job. You're not going to have a high career, and people speak highly of you. But he said, I believe God's working my heart. His parents are strict Buddhists. His parents have never once encouraged their boys, him and his brother, come to our church, and they've both been saved. But their parents, Buddhist, Hindu people, they think Jesus, probably just another good teacher, you know, one of those enlightened ones, but, you know, we want our family to be Buddhist. And praise the Lord, their boys got saved, and they finished their work at home, and they always make time to go to church, even if they're late, they try to come to church. And they try to put God first in their life. They have devotions. But you know, about 4 months ago, we got a call while we were in Ohio. Pastor, one of the saddest things. And Visal is crying. He said, my dad just had a stroke. And the doctor said they can't help him. He said he went out into eternity without God. What can I do? What do I tell a young man? His dad went out to eternity without hope. My folks, they got saved. The gospel is only good news when it saves a soul. And they receive it. 3 weeks ago, Visal's mom, she's very hard. She would listen some, but she just was not ready to get saved. I pray that some way, while she was listening to the preaching, that she received it in her heart. 3 weeks ago, she's riding on these little mopeds, and somebody, a drunk driver, T-boned him from the side. And she's out on the street. She had head injuries, and within 24 hours, she was gone. Visal lost his dad 4 months ago, lost his mom 3 weeks ago. But he's still coming to church, and he's holding on. Pray that he wouldn't be bitter. But it's people like that the gospel is reaching and making a difference. And they're not drinking. They're not going off to karaoke bars. They're not going off to the clubs. But they're staying in tune with God. Would you pray? Would you continue to partner and continue to do the work of the gospel? Thank you, Lord, for this evening. Thank you, Lord, for your church. God, we need your help. Lord, these are the last days, and Lord, we pray that you help us, God. Help us to be impassioned about the gospel. And Lord, help us, God, that we would not hide it, but that we would shine it. God, please work in our hearts. We thank you for the gospel. In Jesus' name we pray. Pastor.
Stand. As we sing Where He Leads, I Will Follow, I'll remind you of this. I was a teenage boy, and I heard the gospel. I was sitting in church, and I came forward and trusted Christ. And that's why we always give an invitation, invite people to come to Christ. Because maybe you're here today, and you're a good person, but you've never taken the time to receive the gospel, to let the Holy Spirit work in your heart and bow your head and say, Lord, I'm a sinner. I don't deserve to go to heaven. But I'd like to be saved today. It's a personal prayer to the Lord that saves the sinner. We're going to sing tonight, and maybe you would remind yourself of this. I got to go to work tomorrow. I want to show the gospel. We don't show the gospel by taking a big Bible under our arm. We show the gospel by a positive spirit, an excellent spirit, a loving spirit. We show the gospel by being a blessing to others, by working harder than other people, by serving our employer, by being a testimony where people say, "What is the difference in you? You're just different." And that is showing the gospel, whether we're a young person or an adult or retired. Are you showing the gospel tonight? As we bow forward to prayer, I'll ask Brother Brandon to lead us in the song. We'll sing page 388, "Where He Leads, I Will Follow." Lord Jesus, speak tonight to each heart. Lord, help us to show the gospel and receive the gospel if we've never trusted you. In your name we pray. Amen.